Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this word of admonition and of encouragement that we need to be about your business and we need to be out there participating in the harvest. And you tell us that the fields are all around us and they are ripe to harvest, and the harvest is right now. So, Lord, we pray that you will apply these truths and principles to us this morning, both in our own setting right here at South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church and in the regions beyond. Take your word and use it today in our lives for your glory, for your purposes, and for the building of your kingdom. These things we pray in the name of our magnificent Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. If you're among those who like to fill in the blanks, we have a few blanks today on the insert there if you want to fill those in. And I just thought, you know, since we had a couple of families share this morning, this would be a good time to talk again about going and sending. You know, here we are in the midst of a depressed economy. Here we are in the midst of a sequester. How many people have heard that word? If you haven't learned to hate it yet, give it some time. But in the midst of all of this, the Lord is turning this into a sending year. As we were talking last week about the rebuilding of the temple, and if you looked at it in the natural, you would say, this is not the time to be rebuilding the temple. And yet God said, this is precisely the time to be rebuilding the temple. And what more evidence do we need that when the Hammonds announced, and we did not know because the marshals did not know. It was not until after the fact that the Lord did this work in Jason's heart, and then he found out that Diane had been thinking the same way. So the Lord so arranged it, I'm saying that the marshals could not participate in the Easter offering. Had we known it earlier, we would have probably split it, right? That's how we do things. But the Lord is sovereign, and the Lord had it done another way, and now need number one has been met in full. I think we need to give the Lord another clap offering on that. So here we are, world economy depressed, sequester, and all kinds of other things, and the Lord has put this together. This is not a case where some board or committee, we have a missions committee, and we're always looking for new ways to be involved in missions and all of that. But this was not something put together by a board and a committee. The Lord spoke to the Hammond's heart, then he spoke to Jason and Diane's heart separately. And then, of course, in the whole mix here, we've got Sam and Carrie Bruce leaving in July, Lord willing, and the Lord is raising their support. By the way, I think they're in North Carolina today. And so here we have three things that the Lord is doing right in the middle of this. And when the Lord decides, hey, he doesn't have any limitations. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
He doesn't have any limitations. And when the Lord decides to do something, he'll do it. And we need to learn that as God's people. And we need to learn that in regard to giving and everything else. Because the old devil never misses an opportunity to stab fear into our hearts. How many have heard that, know that's true? I mean, he will not miss. If you have an ache and a pain, he'll tell you it's probably cancer. If you have any kind of little thing coming up, he'll say, see, that's a disaster. You're going to have to cut back. And of course, he loves it when God's people cut back and when they begin to have a spirit of fear. My Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How many read that? Have you read it? It's in Timothy. Look it up. God did not give us a spirit of fear. So if I have a spirit of fear, it did not come from him.
Amen.
And we need to know those things. They're very, very basic, but we need to know those things. But the point is, God is doing something. And we're watching the Lord do it, and we're seeing God provide no sweat. God hasn't even broken a sweat in this whole thing. Can you imagine that? And yet the Lord is providing the need. And this has been a sending church, you know. We have been a giving church. We've been a sending church in that we send, that we support others who have gone. But this has been a sending church in that the three of out of the four of the Palmer family have actually gone from this church. And now some of the second generation children are going. And so in that sense, this has been both a supporting and a sending church. And I just have a feeling the Lord isn't done, and I have a feeling the Lord will be sending some other people out. But that is what it is all about. And the home church, we could get into a whole separate message, really exists in many ways so that those who the Lord has chosen to send can go and can have a support base. And if you want to know more about that, read chapters 13 and 14 of the book of Acts, and you'll find out about the original sending church, which was at the church in Antioch. But let's just look at a few of these observations real quick this morning. Number one, God is a sending God. God is a sending God. Get your pen out, your pencil, make sure it's got a point, make sure it's got some ink, because we're going to move kind of quick here. God is a sending God. A, God sent his son. How many times did Jesus say, I didn't come of my own accord. My father sent me. And then later he says what we read, as the father has sent me. He came because he was sent. As the father has sent me, so send I you. God sent his son. B, God sent the prophets in the Old Testament times. The people didn't even deserve it. Half of the time they were paying like a deaf ear to the word of God, like no doubt a lot of people still do today. But God was faithful to send them the prophets to warn them so that if they did repent and they did turn from their wicked ways, he could bless them again. And so, God sent the prophets. See, Jesus sent the 12 and then the 70 to evangelize Israel. That's the part of the discipleship thing. You know, Jesus had them there. Well, they were disciples because he was preparing to send them. By the way, the word apostolos means one sent. And that's exactly what it means. And that's what Jesus was preparing these men to do. First, he sent them out two by two. He sent 12, and then later, he sent 70. And they went from village to village and basically evangelized the entire land of Israel during those 42 months of Jesus' ministry. D, Jesus now sends the church to evangelize the world. The church universal, the church international, the church global. He sends the church now to evangelize the world. That is Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me. Where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the what? Farthest reaches of the globe. All right, so God is a sending God. He's always sending somebody. Sometimes he just sends you across the street. Sometimes he just sends you next door. But the Lord is always sending. And it's not so important where he's sending you, but that you go. If it's next door, go. If it's across the street, go. If it's across town, go. If it's in the next city, go. And yes, if it is out in some hard-to-find jungle, go. But the point is, when he sends, go. The Lord is always sending. Number two, the sending is done because there is a need. Why did God send his son? He didn't send his son just to send him. We had a need that only his son could take care of, and so he sent him. Now, there are millions and even billions out there that have not yet heard the word of God. That is why God sends, and that is why as his people and as his church we send, because there are millions out there that have never heard. In this country, there are hundreds of thousands and millions that have heard it so long that they're saying, I don't even want to hear it anymore. But there are many in other parts of the world that have not heard, and so that is the reason for the sending. There is a need. These people are dying in darkness. These people are dying without Christ, They need to hear the word of God, and that is why the sending is done. Whether it's short term or long term, it's all part of one big package. Number three, wherever there is a goer, there must be a sender. And that is where the local church comes in. The church in Antioch had had a time of extended prayer and fasting and waiting on the Lord. And the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas unto the ministry that I have appointed them to." And there you have the beginning of missions. And every time that Paul and Barnabas, or later Paul and Silas, did a missionary circuit, then they would always return to the home church in Antioch and report the things that God had been doing. They were sent by that church. God sent, but he sent through that church. God sent Daryl and Kyla Palmer, but he sent them through this church. And there's a lot of other names I could name. God sent them, but he sent them through this church. And there are many others out there that he sent, and he sent them through other churches. But the point is, wherever there's a goer, there needs to be a sender. Because, and then I have, and the same, and the two have one and the same objective. It's just a different part. You work in a business, they have accounts payable and they have accounts receivable. We have a bookkeeper over here. And everywhere you go, you have both. You have the goer, you have the sender. And the two are needed. They're like love and marriage. They go together like a horse and carriage. You can't have one, you can't have none, you can't have one without the other. So wherever there's a goer, there needs to be a sender. Number four. God reaches the world through his people. That's the only way he reaches the world. He does not reach them through angels. He does not reach them through messages sent cosmically over some kind of radio waves through the universe. He reaches people through his people, the goers and the senders. That's how he reaches people today. And that has not changed. Even with all the technology and everything else, it still takes senders and goers. And there has to be somebody willing to go. Number five, the goers and the senders share in the joy and their reward. Because you see, it's all one enterprise, and so we're all in it in one thing together. Again, just different roles. So, when there's a victory, we both share in the victory. When there's a sorrow or a prayer concern, we both share in that sorrow or prayer concern. That's why it's called a partnership. That is why some might say it is a team undertaking. Teams do things together. Does every player on the team have the same function and play the same position? It would not be possible. Every single one of them is needed and together. But when there's a victory, do they all celebrate it together? Yes. That's right. Because they all had a part in it. And that brings us to our closing point today. God designed it this way. It wasn't man that designed it this way. It was God that designed it this way. God designed it this way, that you had to have goers and senders. God designed it this way so we could all have a part. If some big name person could go out there and reach everybody, the rest of us wouldn't be needed. If one person had all the resources and was able to just bankroll it, God does not work that way. Now, I'm not saying there aren't big contributors that can give to something and God can use it. But God's way is for everybody to chip in. God's way is not for one person to give 10 grand and another one to give 10. That God's vision would be more that everybody give 100, just to give you an example. And that way, everybody participates. Everybody participates in the doing of it, and everybody participates in the result and in the blessing and in the reward. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And that the Lord actually designs it that way, and that we can all be in it together. And that's what Jesus says. And now this is when he's sitting at the well. The Samaritan woman has left her pitcher, gone running and telling the man and whoever she can find, there's a man down here that told me everything he may have. The disciples are back. Lord, have a whopper here. Have a, you know, have a whaler, whatever. And he's like, I don't need any. I already ate. And they're like, who brought him food? And he said, my food is to do the Father's will and to complete his work, because he had just witnessed to a lady and won her to the Lord, and through her, almost that whole village was going to come to the Lord. But he says, right then, he says, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe or white, it says, in the, because the grain would turn white just before it was lost. It had to be harvested then, or you would lose it. How many knows fruit has to be, or anything has to be harvested at a certain time, or at a certain point, you'll lose it. He says, the fields are white to harvest. And he says, even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life. Here it is, so that the sower and the reaper may what? Be glad together. We're going to all be glad together when we hear the reports of what God has done. So keep on sowing, keep on doing, keep on being obedient. If you're a goer, what are you supposed to do? Go. If you're a sender, what are you supposed to do? Sin. But whatever the Lord has called us, he's got something for every one of us. Are in one category or the other, and once in a long time in both. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you that you're still sending people, and there are people out there praying and begging and saying, we want the word of God. And we've heard those stories from Indonesia and other places. And sometimes the missions agencies are a little short. They don't have anybody they can send right then, but they're working on it. And Lord, you're working in people's hearts, and you're preparing people to go, some, and to send, some. But Lord, whatever our role is and whatever you're calling us to, let us not be envious of the other role. Let us just understand that we're all in this together, and as long as we each do our part and do what you've called us to do, great and wonderful things are going to happen. So, Lord, we ask your blessing on your people. We ask your blessing on your work. We ask your blessing on those who are going. And we ask your blessing on those who do the sending. And that in the end, indeed, we would all rejoice together. Thank you for letting us have a part. What a blessing. We cannot even describe it. Thank you, Father, for loving us that much, that you would not only save us, but then let us have a role in reaching the rest of the world. Bless these who are planning this way. Provide for them at every step, I pray, Lord, in every way, and that the ultimate harvest will bring you honor and glory. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.